It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
Yeah. And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Alongside IRS officials and prosecutors, the FBI announced today the culmination of Operation Varsity Blues, the bust up of an international college admissions scheme involving bribery, fake tests, and faked athletic prowess.
We're here today to announce charges in the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Department of Justice.
50 people charged, including college coaches, test administrators, and dozens of rich and privileged parents, prosecutors say were willing to cheat to get their kids into elite schools, from CEOs to TV stars, including Lori Loughlin, best known for her role in the sitcom Full House, and Felicity Huffman of Desperate Housewives fame.
This is a case where they flaunted their wealth, sparing no expense, to cheat the system so they could set their children up for success with the best education money could buy, literally. Some spent anywhere from $200,000 to $6.5 million for guaranteed admission.
The accused mastermind, 58-year-old William Rick Singer of Newport Beach, California, pled guilty today in federal court in Boston to charges of racketeering conspiracy, money laundering conspiracy, and obstruction of justice. Prosecutors allege Singer either helped parents fake their child's athletic mastery, bribing coaches, or paid off test administrators and a talented test taker.
Wealthy parents paid Singer about $25 million in total to guarantee their children's admission to elite schools, including Yale, Georgetown, Stanford, the University of Southern California, the University of Texas, UCLA, and Wake Forest.
Investigators say the institutions did not know of the scam. Some, including Yale and Stanford, have taken action against indicted coaches.
We believe everyone charged here today had a role in fostering a culture of corruption and greed that created an uneven playing field for students trying to get into these schools the right way through hard work, good grades, and community service.
This investigation is far from over. There could be more arrests to come.
Sandy Rios with you. That was a report on Fox last night. I'm sure you've heard it by now. And generally, I don't like pile on sort of non-political. I do, but I talk mostly about politics and news. But the more I'm hearing about this, the more it's stunning to me. Because what they did was they actually paid people through this gentleman that was mentioned on the report from Fox to take the tests for them, to change their scores on the SAT, to change their scores on the other test that's taken, the ACT. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, that is really disgusting. You know, I still remember trying to take those ACTs and doing my very best and the tension and, of course, the discipline and the pride and lack of it when test results don't come out the way you want, or pride when they do. You know, this is all part of character development. And when parents cheat for their children and buy, you know, test scores and buy admission and lie about their children's athletic ability to get them into these schools when others who are not, you know, not as privileged in terms of money, I hate to use that word since it's sort of abused now, but don't have the resources to pay off someone to get their children in. And they have kids that are great athletes who've trained and worked hard. It's just so wrong. It really is. And on the pop culture side of this, it's pretty shocking. Felicity Huffman arrested? She was arrested. She's out on a $250,000 bond. And the only reason Lori Loughlin is not in jail is because she was in Canada filming something. So she's going to be coming back into custody. I think her husband, I believe, has been taken into custody. And it's disappointing, is it not, to see, for me anyway. Okay, I'll just say this, for I do love... I used to pay a lot more attention to pop culture than I do now, and I always enjoyed Felicity Huffman. She's got such personality. She played in Desperate Housewives which was pretty entertaining when it first came out. And Lori Loughlin, they said, I know they said she was part of a sitcom. I never see regular sitcoms, but I do watch that series on Netflix called When Calls the Heart. Anybody ever see that? It was written by Jeanette Oakes. And I have some ties to Jeanette Oakes because, well, it's a long story, but let me just say that this is a series that's very sweet and innocent, and Lori has a leading role in that. So it's very disappointing. You know, you do equate their characters with the kind of people that they are, and it's really not a fair thing because obviously in their private lives, they're doing some really illegal stuff. And it also reminds me of how corrupt college and universities and the whole system has become. The cost, astronomical, the burden that's been placed on kids who've had to take loans, of parents who've, you know, mortgaged their homes to try to get their kids in school and give them good educations. And all for what? So that they can get, you know, good jobs. In a lot of cases, it doesn't really mean you actually get a good education, but you get the piece of paper. So I really wish that our whole education system could be deconstructed and put back together. But that's the story on that. I just think it's interesting. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson is coming under attack. And, of course, this has been happening for months. Tucker is the 8 o'clock host on Fox News. I love Tucker. I've known him since he was pretty young. I used to fill in at Crossfire when Tucker used to wear the bow ties. So I used to be a guest on CNN when they did live before the Washington University office audience, and then would fill in. I remember being with James Carville and the other guy. It was pretty interesting, and I enjoyed it. But Tucker was always he was fun, and he was young and just pithy. So he's in trouble because of something he said to a shock jock 10 years ago, and so Media Matters is after him. And of course, Media Matters and these leftists have managed to destroy. They took out Bill O'Reilly. They came after Sean Hannity. Sean survived that. They come after Rush Limbaugh. And the way they do that is they target the advertisers, and they go into the corporate boardrooms and they show protests and they complain, and they make advertisers and big companies afraid of their public image if they're supporting some icky people like Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson or Bill O'Reilly. And they've been very, very effective, as you know. They also targeted Laura Ingraham. So it turns out that at least 3 Obama veterans are part of this, taking Tucker Carlson down. Tommy Vietor, John Lovett, and John Favreau have a pod Save America. And this is what they said in regard to Tucker. Let's listen.
They're having a protest outside of Fox News headquarters on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in New York because Fox is having an emergency meeting with their advertiser. So if you want to send a message and you want people to actually care there, let the advertisers know, because that's the only reason the Bill O'Reillys and the Lord, like the people actually
and the Glenn
Beck
too. Years, it's the only thing that's worked.
Tucker Carlson is their most popular host in their most popular time slot. That is Fox News.
And so Fox is having a board meeting today. They're going to be meeting these protesters outside of Fox, and they're trying to persuade them that Tucker is so unpopular. He's so horrible. The things he's said are just unforgivable. And you heard them say he is their most popular host, Fox's, and that's for good reason, because Tucker has an uncanny mind and grasp of issues and can debate anyone and has this recall of facts and information that's amazing. And he makes some very good points very eloquently, and they don't like that. And so they're out to destroy him. And I don't really know. I think the best thing to do would be if you like Tucker, you would want to write Fox News. Contact them by email, whatever it takes, and tell them how much you enjoy his show. Whatever you want to say that's in your own words, and tell them they have to stand by him. And the advertisers, too, for heaven's sake, they fall in droves. You know, they cave because a lot of their boardrooms and their people are just... it's all about the bottom line, and they're scared to death of any criticism. And some of these, you know, these organizations have created fake Twitter accounts, fake people, and they multiply themselves. They start these campaigns, and the board members think that the outrage is much greater than it is numerically. So it's become a real, very serious problem for conservative media personalities. And so we need to do what we can to support the ones that we believe in. And I think Tucker is probably one many of you want to support. I certainly do. Mike Emanuel last night had a report back on Capitol Hill, speaking of going back to politics, about the whole impeachment conversation. Let's listen.
I do not believe that an unfit president should be allowed to stay in office.
The political left is on fire after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi took impeachment of President Trump off the table in an interview with the Washington Post. Texas Democrat Al Green says he's willing to defy the speaker.
I intend to bring impeachment to a vote, and I will do so because the president has been acknowledged by leaders and others that he is not fit to hold the office.
Freshman progressive Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she disagrees with Pelosi.
I think this is a conversation in the caucus, and I know a lot of members in the caucus have a different opinion, but that's why we caucus.
Another vocal pro-impeachment freshman, Rashida Tlaib, ducked questions today.
I'm so sorry. I have to go.
Do you agree with Nancy Pelosi?
I think I've already made that very clear.
Others on the left say the threat alone kept President Trump in check.
By calling for impeachment, by talking about impeachment, we were able to limit what this president would do. First and foremost, he didn't fire Mueller.
A Pelosi ally defended the speaker today, saying lawmakers must wait for special counsel Robert Mueller to finish up his probe.
Faced with clear evidence that any
You know what, I'm going to interrupt this report because I want to tell you that we just found out yesterday that the Mueller probe has been now funded through September 2019. The one that's imminently ending, you know, that probe that's going to end any moment. Tomorrow it's going to be over because they have nothing more to find. They've just been funded again through September 2019. So it just continues to go. And by the way, Kevin Brady, who is the chairman, no, he's the ranking member now of the House Ways and Means Committee, is saying he does not buy Nancy Pelosi's comments about no impeachment. He says the committees are rapidly putting this together. They're going after the president with a vengeance. He said Nancy does not have control of her caucus, so he doesn't believe she's going to be able to stop it. They're going after the president's tax returns. And Kevin Brady points out, you know, the president and the vice president are by statute audited annually by the IRS. And he makes the point that they're already being monitored, and this is unnecessary, but that's what they're doing. So this is not going to end anytime soon. And speaking of protests, you just heard that the left is going to converge on Fox News headquarters in New York City downtown. Been there many times. Actually, I was just thinking of that vision in my mind of the marquee, you know, going by the lights, Fox News, and the live broadcast on the outside, the plaza there. That's where they'll be. And they will be protesting Tucker Carlson, trying to persuade CEOs and executives and advertisers of how rotten Tucker is. That's going to happen this morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But meanwhile, another protest is taking place, and one that you might actually want to be part of. If you're anywhere near the Capitol tomorrow, anywhere of those of you listening from Virginia and other places nearby or in the district itself, I just want you to know that there are protests in Nancy Pelosi's office. And the reason is because of the anti-Semitism that she has yawned her way through. We know what's been said. We know what Ilhan Omar has been pushing, the things that she's been saying about Israel. We also know about Rashida Tlaib, and on we could go. And so there is a protest that's being organized tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This will be at the Longworth House Office Building. Longworth House Office Building, and it is Speaker Pelosi's D.C. office. It's a sit-in. And so let me just read. Rabbi Aryeh Spiro, the National Conference of Jewish Affairs, is organizing this, and he says this: Omar should be censored and beyond that removed from the powerful and influential House Foreign Affairs Committee that Speaker Pelosi surprisingly granted to this first-year legislator. Omar's thinking, her conduct, and her blithe willingness to inject anti-Semitic tropes into the legislative process make her unfit to hold such a strategic position. And he goes on and explains that this is what happened in Europe, the drip-by-drip method to destroy Jews and to make them seem inhuman, so that preparing the way for exterminating them in the future. And so the sit-in is taking place at 1 o'clock in the Longworth Building in Nancy Pelosi's office. And one last thing, in response to this anti-Semitism, this is a really cool effort. Elizabeth Pipko is a 23-year-old Jewish figure skater turned model. And she has started what's called the Jexodus. Jexodus, that's Jews leaving the Democratic Party because of their anti-Semitism. It's really a big deal. I'll talk more about it later, but there will be rallies scheduled in April around the country. Jexodus, you can find it on online if you want to look it up right now. All right, stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
In a move most Christians probably never expected to see, Walmart has created and is promoting a Facebook video ad that normalizes homosexual relationships. And they need to hear from you. The ad is part of a campaign released on Valentine's Day called Love is in the Aisle, a dating show at Walmart. Episode 2 features Pat and Andy, two homosexual men on a blind date as they meet at the store and shop together and discover whether or not they're compatible. Please sign the American Family Association petition to Walmart asking them to remove this pro-homosexual video and remain neutral on controversial issues. It's clear that Walmart is on the path to elevating homosexual relationships to the same level as the male-female model of marriage. Sam Walton must be turning over in his grave. Let Walmart hear from their Christian customers. We'll present the petition at corporate headquarters March 20th. Please sign our Walmart petition today at afa.net. That's afa.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Noel Francisco, Solicitor General of the United States. He's responsible for representing our country in high-level court cases. Micah 6:8 reminds us of the importance of justice in God's eyes. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to lift up Noel Francisco as he seeks justice on behalf of our country. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Defending the good people of Fox News. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
By now you know Fox News is under attack. This broadcaster is under attack by the outrage mob, a gang of militant left-wing agitators looking to shut down any speech they find to be offensive. Their crusade has nothing to do with virtue, everything to do with political payback. My commentary stands for God and country and family, values that are anathema to the leftist. The only free speech in their minds is one that publishes news and commentary that affirms their radical agenda. Dissent is punished, reputations destroyed, resistance is futile. It's been said silence in the face of evil is evil itself. So I've made a decision. This commentary will not be silenced. We will not be bullied, and we will not bow down. We will defend the Constitution, and we will stand alongside freedom-loving patriots. So help me God. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Kate Hudson, one of Hollywood's most famous daughters, loves showing off her beautiful new daughter, Rainy Rose, on Instagram.
Going on a little morning walk.
And this morning, the actress and Weight Watchers ambassador is revealing that she's raising her daughter with what she calls a genderless approach.
It can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different parents. It can mean dressing kids more gender neutral clothing. It can mean not using pronouns like he and she.
Hudson also telling AOL in an interview online that we still don't know what she's going to identify as. Raising a child gender neutral is not just some Hollywood fad. It's a parenting style that more and more American families are trying.
I think partly because they see a lot more variation out there. You realize there's a lot of ways to be a boy or a girl, and parents are realizing that's really seems to be a much healthier and happier way to raise kids.
Hudson already has two boys, but she says she's enjoyed buying girls' clothes, even when some are what she calls over the top.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. You heard that. And you might know that there might be another side to this story, but you're not going to hear it on national news. You're not going to see it on television, and you're not going to hear it on radio, except conservative radio. You might hear it on Fox with Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. And you know what? That's new. I have to say congratulations to both of them, because Fox used to be one of the worst networks to cover for the radical LGBT agenda. I should know. I had personal experiences trying to get them to cover it properly, and they didn't. And that was our only hope. And so here we are, what, 10, 18 years later, and we have gay marriage legalized. We have our children being forced into exploring their gender, their sexuality. And it's becoming, I would say, maybe epidemic is an overstatement. Let's just say it's becoming a crisis in public schools. I've asked two people to join me this morning because this topic is so thick. And we're going to talk to each of them and then about their various input, a various angle, the various niche on this. And then we're going to talk together about what's going on in the culture. Kathy Roos is with us this morning. She is the Senior Fellow of Legal Studies at the Family Research Council. By the way, Kathy was formerly legal counsel for the National Center for Children and Families, plus her resume is quite long, but she knows what she's talking about when it comes to the protection of children. I think she's the mother of four, Kathy, is that right, four now?
Two little girls.
Oh, shoot, I doubled your family without knowing.
That's okay. I would have loved that, but yeah.
Well, you know what's fun? I have to say, okay, personally, let me just say, I knew Kathy before she married her husband, Austin, and many of you who listen to this show knew who Austin is, and it was just so fun when they got married, and I guess I just lost track. I thought there were more kids. Kathy, thank you for joining me, and let me just say, I know this is a topic that's really concerning to you as a mother and also as an expert on the issue of children and all kinds of abuse. The Daily Signal, the outlet of Family Research Council, published, well, Daily Signal's with Heritage, but they published an article written, I'm thinking, by staff at FRC and Tony Perkins,
yep,
titled, "I Have a Girl Brain But a Boy Body." Virginia kindergartners are read transgender story. And it all started, as I understand it, on Read Across America Day. Tell us what that's all about and what happened.
Well, and I actually have some potentially breaking news for your show, too, because we have some documents now about this this very deceptive school and what it did to parents. Well, this is a school in Northern Virginia, in Arlington, Virginia, called Ashlawn. And the principal sent a letter to parents saying, it's Global Citizens Day, and we're going to have a reading for your kindergarten kids of a book called I Am Jazz. And that the person doing this reading would be the NEA, the new NEA president, Lily Eskelson Garcia, and another person named Sarah McBride. The letter did not tell parents they had a right to opt out. They did not tell parents, and I've got the letter right here, that one of the people reading to their kindergartners would be a cross-dressing man who calls himself Sarah, and identifies as a woman. So these things were not revealed to the parents. The other thing, Sandy, is the letter was sent only in English, but there are almost 30 languages spoken in this particular Arlington school district. And when we pressed the principal, she admitted that some of the kids in this particular kindergarten class come from families who speak English as a second language, and yet they did not notify those parents in the language in which they speak at home. So this is a complete snow job on the parents in this Northern Virginia school, and the school is not apologizing yet, and they're not backing down. So I think we've got a real situation here where parents have been bamboozled, they've been lied to, they were not provided full information, and they were not told they have a right to opt out. And so when you're not told you have a right to opt out, you don't know that you possess that right. When the Washington Post reported about this the next day, they said, none of the parents opted their children out from this special reading, right? You know, celebrating as if, you know, of course, everybody agrees with this. But they don't. I talk to parents every day who most vociferously don't agree with this.
Well, I just want to paint the picture. I just want us to sit with this for a second. Little five-year-old children. Now, I have a five-year-old grandson. Yeah. Thinking about how young and innocent he is. And then you've got, now let's just talk for a second about the parents who don't speak English. They may not even ever know, Kathy, what happened, and yet their children are being indoctrinated without their permission. It is It is stunning. And I, the storyline was, I have a, all right, this is one, the instance you guys wrote about in Daily Signal. I have a girl brain, but a boy body. Now, I'm confused about one thing. There was, a week ago last Monday, was Read Across America Day, and it was sponsored by what? Well, the National Education Association and Human Rights Campaign?
Yes.
Do you know?
Right. The NEA is partnering with the Human Rights Campaign, which is the leading LGBT activist organization. So the NEA is, you know, has been highly politicized for many, many years. But again, that's something that a lot of parents think, well, the NEA, that's just the teacher, you know, that's the teacher lobby, and we love our teachers. But the people that run that organization are hard leftists, and now they have embraced the HRC, hard left, pro-transgender activists, and now they are doing this outwardly, propagandizing kids in public schools. And these are kids, who are in public schools. Public schools are meant to be for everyone. And not everybody has the means to pull their kids out of public schools or even understands the urgency and the need to consider that option. I want to say something about child abuse. The American College of Pediatricians calls telling kids that they might be born in the wrong body, that's psychological child abuse. That is what was committed on these kids in this Arlington school. The American Psychological Association's manual of mental disorders says that up to 98% of kids who do experience some sex confusion will grow out of it naturally, right? Up to 98%. That's if they're allowed to go through puberty naturally, allowed to develop and grow. If school districts like this one systematically heap affirmation on this, on a child's confusion, then it's the school district, really, who is going to be trapping that child in the wrong body. Do you see the irony I'm trying to articulate?
Yep.
These adults are playing, they're treating these kids as lab rats. And in fact, a partner of HRC, known as GLSEN, gay and lesbian activists that focus on education, admitted that they use Northern Virginia and California as laboratories for their transgender policies on kids. So this has just reached, it's just blown out of, I mean, people can't even believe it when we bring this news to them. But here it is.
Yeah, here it is. And so with that, I want to bring Tim Graham into the story because you alluded, Kathy, to what's happening. Parents are not being warned. They're not being consulted. Of course, this is a pattern that's been going on for a couple of decades. I happen to know this. But on these issues, it's just getting more and more radical. When we thought we'd seen everything, we hadn't. And so Tim is the executive editor of Newsbusters and the Media Research Center's director of media analysis. And they just did a piece pointing to another piece about parents speaking out who have had children who have been wooed into this transgender lifestyle. So, Tim, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure.
All right, so tell us about what you guys, I know the article is long, I read it, interesting. It was written by five anonymous mothers, and you guys do a synopsis of that piece. Okay, so in your words, Tim, what do you think's happening? I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of mothers like Kate Hudson cheerlead this. This is great. You know, my kids, I think even the princess, Harry's wife, whatever, Meghan Markle, is talking about raising her children in a gender-fluid situation. But there's another side to this story, isn't there?
Yeah, this particular piece was about five mothers who were basically said that my children decided late in their childhood, or even in their college years, that they suddenly decided, although there was no previous signal, oh, I'm transgender. And what they found was the mothers would be like, well, I need to take her to counseling. I need to try to figure this out. And everywhere they turned, people were like, no, let's put them on the fast track to the other gender. And they wrote this article anonymously. I thought this was the most shocking part, because if you do not support their new gender identity, you can be reported to Child Protective Services and lose custody.
That is just absolutely
stunning. That, to me, is mind-boggling.
It is. I actually read about a story about that in Ohio recently, and a couple of other just middle America states, places that you'd think of them, oh, maybe California, maybe Massachusetts, Maybe New York City, they might do this. But no, we're talking about this reaching down to middle America. And that, of course, is because the National Education Association has its tentacles into every bit of curriculum in every school house in the country. And so even small areas are not immune to this. Tim, give us a story, one of the stories, because there's like five mothers who tell their story in this. Can you just kind of give us a little more, flesh out one of those stories that you think is most egregious?
Well, one of them was that I thought this was kind of surprising, that they found that their opponent on the other side was Planned Parenthood, that Planned Parenthood is making it easy for people to get hormones very, very easily. I mean, that is here again. Like, Planned Parenthood isn't doing enough evil things in the world. Now they can easily get their hormones and try to become a different gender at Planned Parenthood. I guess the other one was just the one that kind of relates to what we were just talking about. A mom said her 16-year-old girl ran away and reported to the Department of Child Services, you know, that her mother was basically abusive because she wouldn't use male pronouns, wouldn't use her chosen male name. This is one of those things that's upsetting to me. It's like you have a child, you name that child, you clearly know the gender of the child, you've raised the child, and then they turn on you like this. So, obviously, yeah, the agencies of the state and the counselors and whatnot all line up with this transgender situation. And this was the quote that I think really stuck out. She writes, "My once beautiful daughter is now 19, homeless, bearded, in extreme poverty, sterilized, not receiving mental health services, extremely mentally ill, and planning a surgical procedure that removes part of her arm to construct a fake penis."
That is just stunning, Tim. Words cannot even describe any mother, any parent thinking about this and having this happen to your child without your control. You mentioned this girl that went to Planned Parenthood. And honestly, Tim, this was news to me, too. I did not know Planned Parenthood was doing this. And the thing is, she said that her daughter was very much a girl, but she went away to college and came home and started talking about being non-binary. The mother didn't even really quite understand what she meant. And then suddenly she shaved her head, started wearing boys' clothes. And then she thought a psychiatrist who knew she was a girl, and there was no confusion about that, would kind of stop this. But she went to Planned Parenthood, and with just one visit and a little bit of blood work, Planned Parenthood will cheerfully enable young women and men to pursue their authentic selves through cross-sex hormones. Kathy, what do you know about Planned Parenthood's part in this?
Well, they announced, I think it was in their last year's report, that they were going to begin doing gender affirmation. But we didn't really know, I think, how that would play out. So this woman's story is really important because putting someone on, a young person, an 18-year-old, on powerful hormones already is causing health risks. But then refusing to, these parents in this story, I did not know this particular story, wrote to Planned Parenthood and said, "Here is the number for her psychiatrist. Please, there are other issues she's dealing with." And apparently they got a curt letter back from Planned Parenthood saying, "She's 18, she's capable of giving her own consent, you know, go fly a kite." So without looking into any of the other issues that may be compelling these young people to pursue a gender transition, Planned Parenthood is happily taking their money and shooting them up with hormones. It's outrageous. And it's not a surprise, right? Planned Parenthood would really do this. We can't be shocked, but the fact that they're now adding this to their already gruesome line of work that they do is just another reason that we've got to stop funding them with any government money at the federal or state level, right?
Yeah, and I just drop in that, you know, they for years have had what they call Teen Wire. I'm assuming it's still there on their webpage. And it would counsel kids on how to experiment with the homosexuality in detail, sexual acts. I mean, so this is not really new. It's same but different. But I had no idea they were doing this. It is absolutely outrageous. When we return, let's kind of turn our conversation to what the media and the other outside sources are doing to influence our children not just the schools. Tim Graham from MRC is my guest, and Kathy Roos from Family Research Council will return right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning.
For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to a recent study published by the Christian Post, 76.3% of all abortions are obtained by, quote, God-fearing women, unquote, with 68.7% who identified themselves as Christian women and 18% of all abortions obtained by self-described born-again or evangelical women. A corresponding CareNet study found that many women with unplanned pregnancies go silently from the church pew to the abortion clinic, convinced the church would gossip rather than help. America's greatest need is repentance. When the hearts of the American people turn to God, everything else will be impacted.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
From Jerusalem to the utter ends of the world, the gospel is reaching folks everywhere. But we don't always get to hear how God is moving in other places. I'm Charles Morris. Won't you join me this week for Haven Today? We'll be in a series called Christianity Around the World.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Let's remind people about the resurrection of Jesus. You can do that by purchasing our He Lives AFA Easter buttons. Order by April 10th to receive yours by Easter, April 21st. You can purchase them in sets of 10, and the more you buy, the more you save. Get yours now at afastore.net. And thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He lives.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The last time I was a guest on CNN was years ago. The topic was the homosexual agenda and its invasion of public education. I explained we should not teach the gay agenda in schools because homosexual conduct is such a danger to human health. I cited stats from the CDC, hardly a member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, about the consequences of homosexual conduct. I pointed out that 65% of all of the men in the history of the AIDS epidemic contracted HIV/AIDS from having sex with other men. Another 25% got it through injection drug abuse, which means that homosexuality is a greater threat to human health than IV drug abuse. That's as far as I got. The hostess cut me off, and that was the end of the interview. The takeaway? The left just cannot handle the truth.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. An important Senate hearing today will shed light on what Communist China is doing that constitutes a new era of U.S.-Chinese competition. A more accurate description for this period would be wartime, because Beijing has engaged in unrestricted and unreciprocated warfare against us for decades. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman James Risch of Idaho is to be congratulated for calling for a new approach. He intends to encourage a recalibration about the extent and character of China's increasingly aggressive behavior. Hopefully, in the process of today's and coming hearings on this subject, Chairman Risch will not only educate the American people to this present danger, but arouse us to support the actions we must take in response. These include not only rebuilding our military, but also countering the economic, financial, and other asymmetric forms of warfare the Chinese are assiduously employing against us. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Three of the show is almost here. There have been lots of headlines, of course, surrounding what you'll be going through in this season. You said that you'll complete the last step on your journey to becoming the person that you want to be. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest fear going into this sort of last phase of your journey?
I mean, there's definitely been a lot of complications in terms of the bottom surgery. We've been talking about it a lot, and you'll see in the show that there's some problems, especially because I've been on the hormone blockers, and basically I haven't had a lot of development. So we're, you know, debating if I have enough material to work with. It's all this weird stuff, but it's been a journey for sure. And I haven't gotten the procedure yet, but in this season, you'll see me going on consultations and finding the surgeon of my choice.
Sure.
That was Jazz, the so-called Jazz, who's this TLC star because her mother decided that Jazz, who was a boy, wanted to be a girl. And so we, the kids, have been watching this for a couple of years now, watching her transition. And as she alludes to in that little clip with People magazine, she had a complication, as many people do. It's not nearly so simple as they say. Jazz got hormone blockers, so she never really developed. And now at 18, she's going through full transition. It's just amazing. Surely, we have not become so dull that we are not horrified by that story. But the media has played a huge role in influencing our children. There's no question about it. They laid the groundwork. They have groomed them for these moments. Tim Graham is my guest this morning, along with Kathy Roos. Tim is with MRC Media Research Center, and Kathy is with the Family Research Council. She's the senior fellow for legal studies, and Tim is the executive editor of Newsbusters. Tim, these stories that you cite in the article, by the way, we'll put on our Facebook page, Hearing the Mothers Who Can't Speak on the Record, they do allude, many of them, to social media influences. Can you just speak to that for a second?
There's just no doubt that there is a, the LGBT culture. We've moved on from the LGB to the T, and the news media have been driving this particular thing hard because I think they think this is the last frontier, so to speak, the last letter or something. But they have, in Twitter, for example, or Facebook, you get punished for saying things that are critical of transgender advocates. Anything where you basically try to make the point that boys are boys and girls are girls, and that's the way, don't say it, that's the way God made us. These sorts of things, get you banned or get you temporarily suspended. And that's, I think, what people's concern about social media is. It's supposed to be, it's one thing to say, they're just trying to be anti-hate. Statements like boys are boys and girls are girls, it's not a statement of hate, but that's the way that ideology processes it.
I think one of the moms puts it really well. She says that she calls it a social contagion. She says YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit supplied a how-to guide and handbook on transitioning, complete with trans stars like Jazz Jennings and Riley Dennis, with thousands of followers. Kathy, do you see that you have kids, and do you see the same thing? You probably have them in private school, I'm guessing. But do you see, at least peripherally, the influence of social media on the kids in regard to this topic?
Well, there's no question about that. And I just wanted to mention that Dr. Lisa Littman at Brown University published a study, peer-reviewed study, on rapid onset gender dysphoria. So that's when a teen girl all of a sudden says, I'm really a boy, with no prior evidence that she was confused at all about her sex. And Dr. Littman studied hundreds of cases interviewing parents and said that the number one influence on their daughters was social media. She talks about this being a social contagion. Peer pressure that used to only come from, face-to-face peers, but now peer pressure comes from social media. There are websites, apparently, teaching kids how to get these hormones without their parents knowing, how to trick the system into giving them hormones without their parents' consent. I mean, it's really bad. And she also interviews parents about what they encountered when they took their children to professionals, medical professionals. And she said more often than not, she found that the medical professionals had no interest, didn't even ask if there were any exacerbating mental conditions that might cause a child to be confused about her sex. For instance, in one case, a child had been raped at an earlier age, and that was not explored at all. Nope, here's the drugs. They've just put them right on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones without exploring these other serious conditions that might, have an influence on why this child is confused about her sex. So she likens it, Dr. Littman, to, anorexia. and bulimia from 30 years ago, how that was kind of understood as a social contagion, and how devastating that, you know, that took lives. This is going to take lives as well. There's no question, I mean, and I think until we start seeing lawsuits, nothing's going to stop this. I mean, I don't know that anything will stop this until we see lawsuits that force these activists to put the brakes on. And they're activists in the medical profession too.
Yes, totally. Plus, we have the law involved now because, as you well know, Kathy and Tim too, that many states now are passing laws where it is absolutely illegal for a therapist to counsel anyone other
right.
than to encourage them towards transgenderism
right.
or homosexuality, that you can actually lose your license. You can be punished. I'm not sure how many states now. I want to say 12, but I'm not sure.
I think it's about a dozen, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Tim,
yeah,
one of
so these... this is taking away the lifeline that these kids might have had who are experiencing this, to go to someone who can help them accept their own bodies, but in these 12 states, that's illegal.
Yeah. Tim, one of these stories, I remember one of these moms who spoke out anonymously talks about her daughter going to Oregon to circumvent her parental authority. And do you know that particular story? She talks about how Oregon's laws were different, and so she was able to go through this transition without any kind of interference from her parents.
Well, the standout part was, 17 years old. In Oregon, she could go at 17 to go and change her name, to change her legal gender, and to undergo a double mastectomy and a radical hysterectomy. This is the one I was referring to, where the girl's now 19 and homeless and bearded and so on. I mean, it is one of these things where, as you suggest, you can't have what might be called objectivity, and you can't allow something that might be called a debate. There is only an orthodoxy.
You know, let me just mention this. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing that I think may also have an impact here is sports. And, the transgender ideology will bring an end to girls' sports. It will bring an end to women's sports. And that is a threat that a whole other kind of coalition of people are concerned about, even people that might not be concerned about, what the distortion of the human person that, you know, we are. But the threat to women's sports and girls' sports is very, very real, and that may turn out to help put the brakes on some of this. We need to turn it around. But the fact that Martina Navratilova has been continually castigated for coming out and saying that this is really cheating, you know, when you force girls and women to compete against biological men. So that provides some element of hope, at least for me.
Kathy, as an attorney, do you think there's any recourse for parents who, it seems to me, all right, isn't there a lawsuit in there for parents against school districts who cause harm to their children? Because let me just interject. Walt Heyer, a good friend of mine and probably known to you guys too, is a transgender, he's a man who's gone through transgender, went to a woman and lived and then came back. Has a family now helps a lot of transgender persons. And Walt says often, and what he's found is that at least half of transgendered persons either have committed suicide or have attempted it. So we're talking about life and death here. I would think there would be some kind of a lawsuit in that, even for parents against school districts, Kathy. Is that not possible? Even maybe a class action, now that it's gotten so widespread.
Well, I do think, I mean, I know that there are families that are talking to litigation firms right along these lines. I mean, at least it's a violation of free speech on the part of parents and families. But when you go deeper and talk about the actual harms, there's a possibility that they'll be pursuing fraud and deception and personal injury. All of these things should be pursued, and I think they will be pursued by parents. I think we'll see lawsuits.
Yeah, I hope so, because that seems to be the only thing to stop this stuff. Tim, you guys observe, you and Brent Bozell, who wrote this article for MRC, observe at the end that there's a lot of talk, but not much action. Well, let's just say, I'm going to ask you this way. Is anybody doing anything about this? Anybody really organizing to combat this?
Well, I mean, I guess this is where there needs to be the family research councils and the media research centers to try to at least bring this to the public attention. The orthodoxy on this is incredibly strong. And what I find always fascinating about social conservatism versus social liberalism is that they pretend they don't have an orthodoxy. They are explicitly anti-religious. They consider religion to be very oppressive, enforcing a correctness. And then they get in charge of the culture and they do this. And then they run around and pretend they don't have an orthodoxy. They don't squash debate. And that's got to be pointed out.
Yeah. Let me just say the American Family Association is, of course, on the front lines of this, too. And we have a great DVD called Preparing Your Children for the Transgender Revolution. It's an hour long. It kind of helps parents what they need to know about and what their children need to hear about this revolution. And so you can get that at our store, afa.net. It's, again, called Preparing Your Children for the Transgender Revolution. But, Tim, I agree with you guys. There's a lot of talk and not much action. I know FRC is working hard. So is, Heritage Foundation has really done a great job, which is kind of out of their box. They've become real champions on this issue. And MRC, too, speaking out, media research with Brent Rozelle's leadership, and AFA. But what we're missing, I think, is churches, church involvement. Would you not agree, Kathy?
Well, there's a lot of room for growth there, Sandy. I do think that's true. I think that it's kind of a slow learning curve. What is happening is so unbelievable that I think it takes longer for people to process, to really believe that this is actually happening. I know that in Northern Virginia, we've been working so hard that the churches are putting in Sunday bulletins, you know, exposing what's in, you know, the transgender lessons in sex ed in public schools. You know, we've got a lot of religious families that send their kids to public schools. 90% of children from Catholic kids, for instance, go to public schools. I mean, I think most parents certainly don't know the threat because this didn't exist. You know, you think you know what is happening at schools because you remember what, or even with your younger kids, even 10 years ago, it was so different than it is today, even 5 years ago. So I do think there's starting to be an awakening, but it needs to happen faster because these families are not prepared. And I'm so glad to know about this DVD. I'm going to absolutely get it and explore that resource. Yep. These families need to know how to prepare and protect their kids.
Yeah, because, you know, when you mentioned the National Education Association, my mind goes back to when I first started on radio in Chicago, and people were telling me what was happening at the NEA. It was hard to believe at the time. But I remember they did a video, actually it was a VCR at the time, called It's Elementary. And it was a grooming thing for teachers, teaching teachers how to go around parents to teach kids about homosexuality. It was an amazing video. And I remember even in New York City during that time, they introduced what was called the Rainbow Curriculum, and the parents rose up in strong protest. And New York City backed down. But somehow we've lost our grip on this, and we have to regain it. And Tim, I just thank you to Brent Rozelle and his leadership and to the work that you do at Media Research Center to expose what the media is doing on this. And Kathy, you at FRC, writing and exposing what's going on faithfully every day. We're going to put your articles on our Facebook page. And remember AFA's resource, Preparing Your Children for the Transgender Revolution. We'll put a link to that on our Facebook page as well. Tim and Kathy, thank you so very much for joining me today on this important topic. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.